Okay. Get my gavel out, make it official. And good morning. I'm going to go ahead and call this session of the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner to order. For the record, today is August 10th, 2023, just after 9 a.m. We have two items on the agenda today. And first, we're going to start with number 22-05581. And this is the Mriglo Shebel Rezone. Probably mispronounced that, but someone can tell me later. And this does involve a request for approval of a site-specific rezone to change the zoning designation of an approximately 0.09-acre parcel at 18499 Harris Avenue Northeast in this Squamish area of unincorporated Kitsap County, from the Suquamish Village Commercial, or SVC, zoning designation to the Suquamish Village Residential, or SVR, zoning designation. And ultimately, the applicants have stated that they hope this will allow them to accommodate expanding a home that is on one of the properties at this point. So I do note, and I'm sure staff will explain, but in this particular case, the comprehensive plan designation for this property would not need to be amended. But ultimately, I make a recommendation to the council, and they have final approval on zoning changes to the zoning map. So my name is Andrew Reeves, and I'm a hearing examiner here with Kitsap County. And today it'll be my role to collect evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony to determine whether this proposal is consistent with the county's comprehensive plan, its zoning ordinances, and then the specific requirements for approval of a rezone under section 2104-230 of the code. I received, I think 11 was the number, 11 exhibits that I reviewed in advance of the hearing today. These generally included the application itself, staff report prepared by county staff, information on the property and sort of, you know, the history of the property, information on the environmental review that occurred under our state's Environmental Policy Act, or SEPA, including the determination of non-significance, or DNS, that was issued. And we'll talk a little more about that as well. And then information on the notice that was provided in relation to the application, as well as today's hearing. And then I think there were two comments, if I recall, public comments that expressed support for the proposal. And then the applicants also helpfully provided sort of a project narrative addressing the various criteria. So I'll admit those into the record. I think we have a presentation as well that will be one of the exhibits. But should anyone have additional exhibits, let me know when it's your opportunity to testify, and I'll address submitting additional exhibits at that time. So I think with that, we can go ahead and get started, and I'll get planning staff sworn in. So thank you for being here, sir. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
And if you could just state and spell your name and explain who you are.
Darren Gurney, DarrenGurnee. And I am a planner at Kitsap County doing the current planning, land use, zoning, and environmental review.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. And did my breakdown of exhibits track kind of with what you were hoping I would review?
It was perfect.
Well, I don't know about that, but, you know. Thank you. So with that, I'll let you go right ahead.
Okay. There we go. Okay. So yes, as you mentioned in the beginning, we do have a couple of extra items to discuss as part of this project, but this is fairly straightforward, and the concepts are easy to recognize here. So again, for the record, my name is Darren Gurney. This is for the Mriglo Shebel rezone. So the presentation today, you can see the location of the parcel here, 18499 Harris Avenue in Suquamish. The presentation is meant to augment the staff report that refers to this parcel. And as you mentioned, the purpose of the project is to change the zone from Suquamish Village Commercial to Suquamish Village Residential. Both are within a Type 1 Lammerd as a comprehensive plan designation, which means we do not have to go through a site-specific amendment. It is merely a rezone. This is a type 4 process in which we come to the hearing examiner, request a recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners, and schedule a hearing with the Board of County Commissioners who have the final authority for approval.
And I assume by Lambert, you meant a limited area of more intense rural development for those that might not know the acronym, but it's something that comes out of the Growth Management Act, I believe, if I remember right.
That is correct. Okay. It was in one of my next slides.
I'm spelling
that out, but that's okay.
Your thunder. I'm sorry.
It's quite all right. It's a mouthful. So I did want to give a little bit of context in history for this parcel. This is one of the few locations in Kitsap County that has what we call paper plat lots, where they were platted around 1906 to 1916. That's about on the time of the World's Fair. There was a lot of interest in Kitsap County, and a lot of parcels were created that eventually became rural in our zoning designations through the Growth Management Act in 1998, Kitsap County Comprehensive Plan, and the associated zoning regulations, designations, each of those things. Those all come into what the situation is today, which is a small lot in a rural location, even though it is in what we call those Lammards. A Lammard is meant to capture the higher density development, even though we don't call them an urban growth area. So just a little bit of backstory on that. So getting into the actual rezone, you'll see on the screen, you have the existing zoning designation of Suquamish Village Commercial, the darker red. The lighter pink is what is proposed. That's the Suquamish Village Residential. So a single family residence has existed on this parcel since the zoning designation occurred in 2000 with the Suquamish Lammard. Recently, I believe it is almost 2 years to the date, maybe one day off from what I heard from the applicant today, that a fire burnt down a house that was on this parcel. So part of rebuilding is requesting this rezone and expansion from the parcel to the south of their house to the north. So with regard to the zone, if that single family residence was there or building a new one in the commercial zone, you're looking at a residential dominant neighborhood on Harris Avenue. That commercial use would actually be fairly inappropriate due to the small parcel size, lack of infrastructure, the road width, everything in that area is merely a small two-lane, if you can call it a two-lane road. No sidewalks, no extra parking off-street for any kind of commercial use. Typically, you would see commercial development incrementally increase the infrastructure on a road like this if the entire street were zoned commercial. That is not something that would occur here. So that leads into some of the justifications as to why this rezone would be appropriate. The parcel size itself, it limits the ability to provide off-street parking for commercial use. So all of these things come into play to where it's justified to change the zoning. It's consistent with the surrounding vicinity. Uses would not cause an immediate materially detrimental effect to the neighboring properties. And it actually does address some indirectly the public welfare in not forcing people to go to a commercial property on a narrow road where you could have incidents between cars and people with insufficient structure. So the owners do desire to merge the parcel with the parcel immediately south and expand that existing home. And that is why the rezone is necessary.
And Mr. Gurney, while you had that slide up, I was going to just ask something because, you know, it does seem out of place on, you know, on the left that this one parcel either got left in the previous zoning designation or was singled out. You know, it does seem strange. I don't know if you happen to have any background on that, but
I have a little. The original maps from 2000 do indicate this was a commercial property from the beginning of when we started doing comprehensive planning. That specific reason, I don't know, but there are a couple that have occurred in the past that could explain it. The person who owned the property at the time, when we did our public outreach, they could have requested the commercial designation for property value sake. It could be that the single family residence had a small business, home business type thing to it, that designation would have applied. But since that time, the business is gone. There's a couple of reasons, but I don't know the exact one.
Might have been a boarding house back when the fair was here, 100 and however many years ago, with 14 people living inside. But I just, I know that sometimes in Lammerds, I don't believe Kitsap County does this, but I some have what they call nodes, or they have, one-off little spaces that are intentionally commercial, but this one, as you clearly explained, is not a sensible location. Like if it was maybe at the corner of where the two roads came together, have a gas station or a mini mart or something, that kind of a thing. But this, as you noted, clearly has some strange, residual reason that it exists as it does. But thank you for, I think
makes sense. It is an interesting
one. You had an exact answer, but I was just curious if you happen to know it. So,
going into our aerial photo, we use this to identify if there are similar uses in the area. As you can tell here, you have single family residences to the north, south, east, with a park designation directly across the street. So this is really, it's consistent as a single family home, not as commercial. This image is really meant to give you a feel of how narrow that roadway is. So if you can imagine a commercial business trying to operate here with somebody parking out front, really doesn't lend itself to a commercial business. So no sidewalks, no street trees for surrounding parcels, no, the lane widths for travel lanes appears insufficient. Did not go out and measure that, but all of these things come into play here. Critical areas map. This is the latest information we have in GIS, indicates no critical areas as confirmed during our review. And the decision criteria for the rezone. So everything we've been talking about thus far comes into play and applies to this decision criteria. So the general vision of the Suquamish subarea plan is for commercial activity on that main thoroughfare. So it's one street to the east, or excuse me, to the west, is where the main commercial thoroughfare is expected to occur. They don't identify Harris Avenue as an area for commercial. So this is consistent with the comprehensive plan. We've discussed that the change over time, it actually has become more of a residential nature, not necessarily commercial. So it is consistent with that. Doesn't affect the surrounding properties negatively. It does have a substantial relationship to public health and safety, as mentioned, with if you were to operate as a commercial entity, it would be somewhat dangerous to try and access that parcel for that. And then finally, the last one, subsection B4B, is of these three bullet points, A, B, and C, these are an OR conjunction. So item B is the one that we're using here. This does better implement the comp plan policies and the comp plan map, even though it is a zoning designation, not a comprehensive map designation. Land use goals and policies. These are cited in the staff report. The basic piece here is that we allow growth in rural areas, we encourage it in urban growth areas. This actually is a unique circumstance where it would, by merging two parcels with support of this action, it actually reduces the number of dwelling units in the Lammerd and rural locations, which is consistent with the comp plan. So the final piece for this project, as you mentioned in the beginning, is our SEPA appeal period. So we had every intention of getting our determination out ahead of schedule. And unfortunately, that determination went out a day later than it would have been required for the appeal period to close by today. So the appeal period for the SEPA determination closes tomorrow, and we have not received appeals yet. We are going to be watching to see if appeals do occur. And if either way, we plan on sending out a memorandum to you to let you know either way on that SEPA determination and whether appeals were filed. If no appeals were filed, you should be able to render a decision after that time is final.
Yep. So essentially on that point, you know, the record will stay open through the day tomorrow. County staff will let me know end of the day tomorrow or Monday morning or whatever. If there have been no CEO of appeals, great. One can assume then the record closes. I don't need to come back on or make a, you know, sweeping proclamation that that is the case. It will have closed. But if there were to be a SEPA appeal, technically we would have to come back and reconvene the hearing because any SEPA appeal would have to be consolidated with this particular open record hearing. So
correct. So if let's play the hypothetical here, if for some reason we did receive an appeal, we would take that. We would have to issue a revised staff report addressing the fact that that appeal is there. We'd have to wait for the appeal to play out before we schedule another hearing to come back and reconvene with that revised staff report and analysis.
Yep, that sounds accurate to me. So I think we're on the same page.
So finally, in with the conclusion of the presentation, we do recommend approval with each of the items noted here, that it is consistent, it's compliant with Kitsap County Code. And as I mentioned, it is a fairly straightforward project meeting these criteria. So if you have any additional questions, I am available. The applicants are in the room. Should you like to call upon them for any kind of comment?
Sure, yeah, just a few questions for you. Just to be clear, the applicants, you know, own this property, and clearly it seems that they own the adjacent property, I think to the south, I think it was, but, you know, adjoining property as it were. But all that we are doing, the only thing I am doing is providing a recommendation on the rezone, to the extent that if the property gets rezoned, the applicants aren't de facto required to, you know, merge the two properties, correct? I mean, you know, that process would be an independent process, I assume, through an administrative review. But a rezone is its own standalone thing, even though you might know what is being proposed. You know, you got to kind of address the rezone on its own merits, as it were.
Correct. So this is not a project level approval. However, I will note that there is a condition of approval within this permit that requires either a single lot determination or officially merging the parcels to allow for that structure to go across what is now a parcel line. So expansion of the existing house comes into play as one of the reasons why the rezone is being requested, but that expansion of the house is not absolutely required as part of the project, but we are requesting that the parcels be merged consistent with the project narrative.
Okay.
So as a condition of approval. So when a development permit comes in.
About requiring merging.
Let me try and find the exact condition.
Yeah, I think it's the very first one. Well, at least the first one talks about a notice to title that requires merging this parcel with the parcel.
That would be the condition, yes.
I guess my only, you know, and I'm happy to hear from the applicant in a little bit here, prior to future development proposals, I guess my only thought is I'm a little wary of, I mean, do we think that merging the two properties is so fundamental to why a rezone would be appropriate? I mean, I'm not.
So
go ahead. Part of this is addressing
Kitsap County Code. Squamish is one of the few locations between Squamish and Manchester. There are provisions in Kitsap County Code that require parcels to merge if they are less than a certain parcel size. So that is part of the reason that we are including this provision as a condition of approval.
You mean merge if they're under the same ownership and there's a new development proposal or something?
Right. So I'm looking at 17420060A4, and it says if a single lot of record legally created as of April 19th, 1999, which this is smaller in total square footage than that required under the chapter, or dimensions are less than requirement, and they're contiguous lots of record held in common ownership, one or more of the lots or the said lots shall be combined to meet the minimum requirements for lot size and dimension.
Period. Oh, interesting. Okay, I'll read that more closely.
Yep.
That is almost okay. Very intriguing. Okay. Well, thank you. I just wanted to make sure I hadn't missed something. And, you know, because I could think the arguments for a rezone being appropriate, at least, you know, looking quickly in my mind, you know, were pretty much didn't matter quite so much that they own the property to the south. I mean, right, all the arguments about why you wouldn't want a commercial business there and how it would fit more closely with the character of the neighborhood, you know. So,
right. So I must clarify that on the basis of purely the rezone, if you find that our conditions or recommendations to the hearing examiner, you don't have to keep all of them. You can add some. So that is something that you have the purview to look at. On the surface of just the rezone itself, everything else about the project does meet the criteria to rezone the project, regardless of the house expansion or the lots being combined.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill here. Just, you know, especially sometimes things happen, you know, and the economy or whatever. And if this got approval for the map to change and then they decide, you know, actually we want to sell that piece off, you know, sell one of the two properties, you know, I could see there being issues, but I will look at the provision and thank you. The applicants very well may come up and say, this is a non-issue. We have plans. This is exactly, we know what we want to do, but I can't tell you how many times I've seen weird things come up 8 years later because of, you know, something being worded a certain way. And, you know, that's all. So I just wanted to check and make sure. So thank you for clarifying that. And then just in terms of the specifically process, so like the staff report, the language, you know, point out hearing examiner's recommendations transmitted to the board. And then it says where another public hearing is held. Just to be clear, though, is the public hearing before the County Board of Commissioners closed record, I assume, meaning folks don't get to testify and present new evidence? And
I don't know. I believe that the public hearing is an open public hearing that allows for public comment.
Okay.
So it used to be that we would go to the Planning Commission first, go through that public hearing process with a recommendation then go to the Board of County Commissioners, who had another hearing to allow for public comment. So it provides two opportunities for public comment.
Okay.
So I believe that would be the same case here, that it would be an open hearing.
I will give it a look. Well, I know it would be open, i.e. people can watch. I will check the code and make sure I'm clear in my decision, my recommendation. I know it's a recommendation one way or the other. I know that the state law has over time worked to cut down on how many open record hearings any particular proposal can have. So I'm not 100% sure, but I just wanted to see if you happen to know that answer. So I will check that at some point. And then we talked about SEPA already. Almost done here. We talked about the parcel merge. I think. We talked about that condition. So no, I think those were the specific questions. Other than, yeah, I think there may have been some historic cut and paste of the staff report just about, I'm not approving this. I'm making a recommendation. That's my authority as opposed to the decision. And so that's neither here nor there. I think we're good. So thank you. Okay. I think I fully understand where things are at, but it would be great to have the applicant come up just very quickly to see if they had anything further they wanted to.
Okay. They will be at the microphone shortly.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Kearney.
Good morning, Mr. Xander.
Hi. Good morning. I'm going to swear you in, okay? Mm-hmm. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
Yes, I do.
And if you could state and spell your name for the record.
My name is Colleen Mariglot, and my last name is Mariglot. I'm glad you brought up the issue about the recommendation to merge the two. It sounds like what the recommendation from the county is that it would take place at the same time as the rezone designation. And that is an issue, actually, just the language that I see here on page 11 of the staff report. Because, we don't know what's going to happen in the future next week or whatnot. And I wouldn't want to be required to merge these two parcels until the time, we might develop it. And I just wanted clarification on that.
Sure. And I will look at that code provision that I was unaware of that Mr. Gurney pointed out that seemed to be unique somewhat but I can say that, generally speaking, rezones are non-project specific. So it's, it's change the zoning and then any whatever happens after that has a whole nother land use review permit process likely. And even if it were the merger, that would likely be administrative. You wouldn't have to come back through the hearing process, but we could try to get more clarification from Darren Gurney, but at least that would be my understanding. But you would prefer that's not a requirement, even though that is seemingly what the intent is in the long term. Is that right?
That's correct. For instance, there were other neighbors interested in this lot that didn't own adjacent property, and they would have had, a little more freedom, I suppose, on that property. Of course, I know the code that Mr. Gurney is referring to, and should we develop and the properties together, of course, they would be merged. So okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And do you happen to know the history on why that was a standalone? I was just really, it's so interesting, but.
I believe so. So the prior owner, he had a plumbing company back in the day. And even before he owned it, I think the person he bought that property from had a commercial business that extended to through the back side of the property, which is now owned by the tribe. And I think that it just stayed connected to that.
Interesting. Well, thank Prior you. Use. That's great. I love getting the history on these weird parcels. So I don't have other questions for you. I just want to make sure you understood the timing, to the extent that there's a few more steps. We have to wait another day just to ensure there were no SEPA appeals. I'm pretty sure there won't be, based on, you know, the lack of opposition we've thus far seen. You know, the two letters that came in were in support, but if something came in, technically we would reconvene this hearing to address that SEPA appeal, because under state law I have to consolidate those two things. But ideally that doesn't happen, and I produce my recommendation and then it goes to the council for county board for the final decision. Is that all track, hopefully?
Yes, we understand that. And, you know, we've waited since last October for today. So we're in it.
Excellent. Well, did you have anything further you wanted to add?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Mriglot.
It's every single letter is pronounced.
Mriglot. Is it Hungarian?
Mriglot. It's Slavic.
Slavic. Okay. I thought it was that part. Okay. Well, thank you. Always nice to learn a new name, too. All right. Well,
Thank you.
Have others that wanted to testify? And not required, just no. Okay. And do we have anyone else that's joined us that we're aware of? Okay. Well, we're going to have Mr. Gurney come back momentarily, and then we'll wrap this first matter up and move to the second item. I do see one attendee. Do we? Unrelated to this property, we happen to know?
I'm not sure. I do see there's one attendee virtually.
Okay, well, let's make sure. So we do have someone that's attending. Kim Gerlach, perhaps, is the name. And if you were interested in testifying on this matter, if you wanted to hit the raise hand feature, that will let us know that you are interested in testifying on this first matter. Doesn't appear so. So with that, we'll go back to planning staff. So Mr. Gurney, based on what you've heard, anything further final you wanted to provide or include before we conclude?
Yes, actually, I would like to address the comments. Sure. About that condition of approval. So it appears that the parcel meets the minimum width and length requirements and minimum parcel size. So the contiguous ownership would not require that consolidation of the parcels. However, if I would probably rewrite that condition to say, if there is development that's going to cross the parcel line, that's where that consolidation must occur.
Makes sense. Would you like to propose a different recommended condition, or would you like me to do that? I mean, I haven't made up my mind one way or the other yet, but we do have a day or two while we wait for SEPA, so it's up to you. I mean, but I'm happy to do it.
I'm comfortable if you'd like to present one. Either way, I can do that and help out. I know you have a large workload as well, so. I can include that in the memo that we send back to you. If that works.
I don't know if you need a memo.
For the SEPA determination, we're writing an official memo addressed to you to confirm whether an appeal was received or not. And okay. I can include in that memo new condition language for that.
Okay. Yeah, you could consolidate. And by memo, just to be clear, I don't think it needs to be a multi-page, I think.
No, this is single-page memo, very short.
And also, here is what we would propose as revised language for that first recommended condition. Does that all make sense?
Yes.
Excellent. So I think we can then conclude our first matter, and I believe you are also presenting the second matter. Is that correct?
I am.
Okay, give me one sec to get my papers switched over.
Okay. I will step away for just a moment here.
Okay. And so for those that were here on the first matter, thank you for being here. We are concluded and here it is. Okay. And with that, I'm ready when you all are.
We are ready when you are.
Great. I'm ready and we're already on the record. But now we're moving on to the second item on the agenda. And this is number 2204815. And this involves a request for approval of zoning variances from the required setback requirements of the Kitsap County Code to allow development of a single family residence on a legally non-conforming undeveloped 0.11 acre property near the intersection of Northeast Harris Avenue and Division Street Northeast in the Indianola area of unincorporated Kitsap County. Once again, hearing examiner Andrew Reeves, and I'll be collecting evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony in this case to determine whether this proposal is consistent with the requirements for approval of these zoning variances under the municipal code, as well as with the county's comprehensive plan and zoning ordinances. So on this particular matter, I believe it was 15 exhibits that I was provided in advance of the hearing that I had an opportunity to review. And these included a staff report prepared by county staff, the PowerPoint that we're going to see that's been brought up already, information on the notice that was provided in relation to the application, as well as today's hearing, various project plans to give a sense of what the potential home would look like, floor plans, site plans, et cetera, information on zoning, information on notice, I think I already said. And then I believe this project was exempt under the State Environmental Policy Act, but we can verify that. So a few more technical details were also provided, but those are the basics on the exhibits that I received. So I'll admit those into the record. And should anyone else have additional exhibits they would like admitted, let me know when it's your opportunity to testify, and I'll address doing so at that time. All testimony will be under oath or affirmation. That's because we're my decision. In this case, I make the decision as opposed to a recommendation, but we're my decision to be appealed under our state's Land Use Petition Act or LUPA, the recording of the hearing, as well as the admitted exhibits, and my decision would serve as the foundation for any such appeal. Finally, the order that we typically follow is first we'll hear from planning staff who's already been sworn in. Then we will turn to the applicant or applicant representative if they are available today, and then see if there are any members of the public interested in testifying. And if so, they'll have that opportunity. And then if necessary, at the end, we'll come back around to the applicant team and or county staff. So with that, Darren Gurney, you're already sworn in, but just because I know they break these up, and I think on the video, if you can just explain who you are one more time.
Of course. So Darren Gurney, I'm a planner with Kitsap County and project lead for the Drew Liner zoning variance.
Great, thank you. Go right ahead. And did 15 exhibits and kind of explanation tracked?
That is consistent with what I know. I know we sent out a revised staff report with a supervisor's signature. I'm not sure if that was just a replacement or added exhibit. Replacement, okay. So that was a replacement.
I think
that merely was a supervisor's signature block added to the report.
Yeah. Okay. So I have two copies. So I think, yes, I probably printed one off, but that was the only difference, correct?
Correct. No content change.
Okay. Excellent. All right. So I think we're good. So with that, go right ahead.
Okay. So this is the Drew Liner zoning variance. The presentations we do augment our staff report. So we rely heavily on the staff report for the decision. The purpose today is to reduce the front setback from 20 feet down to 7 feet, 6 inches, which is a 66% reduction. and also a reduction on the rear setback done to 5 feet from 10 feet. So that's a 50% variance. That's to allow the construction of a single family home, which is an allowed use in the rural residential zoning designation, and a request to reduce a zoning setback beyond 25% requires hearing examiner process and approval per 2104-100. There we go.
Oh, I was like, did that conclude? I was like, that was
that's it.
Quite quick, but no, I figured you had more.
We have a few more. So okay. Again, this is in the north. This is in Commissioner 1 District in Indianola. So pretty close to the previous one, just on the other side of the water. So Northeast Harris and Division Street are the intersection where this parcel occurs. Again, I get to go over kind of the history of the parcel. Similar to the last presentation, this is a 1916 plat map where these parcels were created. In relation to the World's Fair, that's when a lot of this stuff came through. A lot of interest in Kitsap County. Subsequently was zoned rural residential, which carries rural zoning regulations with it, 50-foot front setback, 20 on the side and the rear. Our code provisions, they actually will reduce the setbacks for a parcel down to the next like zone in an urban location, which would be urban restricted. So the zoning setbacks for this parcel are technically 20 feet on the front, 5 on the side, and 10 on the rear, similar to the urban restricted zoning designation. And this is our zoning map showing that zoning designation. You have Harris Avenue traversing horizontally here, Division Street going north-south. So our aerial maps, these show what the vicinity looks like. It is a scattering of single family homes consistent with what is proposed for the parcel. Something to note is that even though the setback reductions exist within our code, this parcel is still so small that it requires a reduction to the front and the rear setbacks. You can see on the eastern edge there, that is the what we are considering the front, which is Division Street. That is where vehicular access is provided to the site. Harris Street on the south is not going to have any access, as you have a reserve drain field and primary drain field that would be restricted from any vehicular access traversing over that. So effectively, Harris Street is not going to be a second front setback in this situation. So our critical areas map, the latest information we have through Kitsap County, identifies no critical areas on or near the site. The stream to the east is identified as a non-fish bearing stream, carries with it a 50-foot buffer, of which this parcel is not even close to that. So through our reviews, we identify that there's no critical areas on the site or buffers. The project does meet the conditions for granting a variance. We have to demonstrate that each of these conditions exist. So the size and shape of the parcel, definitely restrictive for having a single family residence. It's necessary to have the single family home, which is an allowed use. It's not materially detrimental to public welfare, to those in the vicinity. It's consistent with what they already have. And it is the minimum necessary to grant the relief. One could argue the entire site could be an entire variance because of how small it is for a single family home. Comprehensive plan goals and policies, similar to the past presentation, the goals and policies support growth in rural areas, but encourage it in urban growth areas. So each of these policies reflect that. And finally, we do find that we would recommend approval, but based on the fact it is consistent with comp plan, Kitsap County codes, and the character of the vicinity around it.
And those four statements there, just to be clear, those are technically the approval criteria for a conditional use permit, but I need to focus on the variance criteria, which you just went through. I'm just saying that's
correct.
Okay. Meaning they kind of all overlap, I suppose, but I just want to make sure I didn't miss that. Okay.
Right. The one thing here is this might not get into the note of the applicant cannot be the one that created the issue, which is what the slide about the platted lots from 1916 speaks to, is that the applicant didn't create the lot in 1916. Someone else did. So
assumed as much. So
that would be the one difference here.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So I didn't have, so just to be clear, in Kitsap County's code does not have a sort of maximum building envelope or anything like that in these circumstances. Some codes, well, more often than not, that's with a reasonable use exception, which is not what we're here for. But there's nothing to that effect, correct?
Not to my knowledge, no.
But the home that is proposed, as far as we're aware, is comparable to others in the vicinity.
It's very similar, yes. And it is restricted by the septic because it is not served by sewer. And it would still be its condition to comply with all other Kitsap County code. When you come into the county for the building permit, they're going to have to demonstrate that they have water and septic. And that usually these parcels, the biggest issue is if you have a well serving the property and a septic system can't be within certain proximity of the well. So that would be determined through the building permit process to confirm that. And then I'll have to make sure that they comply with that.
Sure. And Kitsap Health gets involved to double check all these things.
Correct. But okay. there is a water system in this location that I believe does serve the property. It's not pertinent to this specific request. That would be at the building permit stage that we go into that detail.
Sure. But to the best of your knowledge, there's either a municipal system or a private purveyor. So rather than
Indianola water system. Yeah.
There you go. Rather than someone drilling their own well, there's a larger system in place. Okay. And then just final question. I just checked and it's all pretty straightforward, but the lot itself is a corner lot, but in this case, there's no requirement, like you don't have to treat it, that you don't need two front setbacks, or some municipal codes are very weird about this. I understand why nobody would be able to access the property, right, from the south.
Right. So this is what we would call an exterior side yard. Okay. Yeah, this falls into an exterior side yard situation. Okay. You will have, when you have two vehicular access points or the opportunity for two, that's where you would have a dual frontage lot. One thing we can put in here is a condition of approval that does not allow any access on the southern boundary line. That reinforces the notion that this is an exterior side yard. And I can't remember off the top of my head if we included that provision.
I can check, but thank you. Yeah, I was just,
it is condition number 6 under 13A. Harris Avenue shall not be used for access to the parcel.
Excellent, okay. Absent a major overhaul of the site plan, right?
Correct.
Things. Okay. Excellent. Thank you. And again, I think I said, and you pointed out, that this was county determined this would be exempt under the State Environmental Policy Act to single family residential development. Yes. And not ADUs in Kitsap County, at least outside the UGA, but actual homes are exempt. So Every code is fascinating. So yeah, I actually don't think I had any further specific questions, as this one again was pretty
okay.
So thank you. Do we have anyone on behalf of the applicant there today?
Anybody online? I think we have one attendee online still. So
yeah, I have two names. I have Stanton Blonde and then Kim Gerlach. So if either of these folks are interested in testifying, if you use the, you can hit the raise hand feature, I believe. Nothing yet. And I do note, I just to point out that, you know, the applicants did not participate. The burden ultimately is on the applicant to convince me, the hearing examiner, to award, approval of a decision as opposed to county staff. The staff has worked hard and made a recommendation, but ultimately, not staff's job to convince me of anything. So I just point that out when folks are not participating in their own hearings. But with that, it doesn't appear either of the folks that are on the attendee side were interested in testifying. So unlike the first matter, I think we can ultimately then conclude this matter, and we'll do so. So should hopefully get caught up and get a decision on these two zoning variance requests similar related to one property, but get the decision on this matter out in the next couple of weeks is the plan. So with that, I think we can conclude our hearing today and wish everyone safety and good health and wish those folks back in Hawaii the best. Certainly thinking of them. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.